Shorter catechism question this week is number 84. What doth every sin deserve? The answer is every sin deserveth God's wrath and curse, both in this life and that which is to come. Of course, in the course of the catechism itself, this comes immediately upon the fact that some sins are more heinous in the sight of God than others. Some of them are more heinous in the sight of God than others just in themselves. Some sins, the commission of those sins, is more heinous in the sight of God due to various aggravations, things like who it is, or when, or where, or against great mercy, against many warnings, against many promises, against vows, etc. So there are sins that are more heinous in the sight of God than others. But the least heinous sin still deserves God's wrath and curse. It is a rejection, a rebellion against God. It is a refusal to honor Him who is the Creator. It places the creature, most notably ourselves, ahead of God, in the place of God, determining for ourselves what we want to be good and what we want to be evil. Every single sin is cosmic treason. So although some sins are more heinous in the sight of God than others, the least heinous sin deserves God's wrath and curse. This also reminds us that once we have been joined to Christ by faith and justified, made righteous, given a righteous standing before God, declared righteous by God through faith in Jesus Christ, this does not mean that our sins no longer deserve God's wrath and curse. In fact, from our study of last week's question, we know that this actually makes our sins worse. That someone who has been shown such grace and brought into such a relationship with God, union with Christ, the indwelling of His Spirit, adoption as His child, that we would then sin against God, that's even worse. And so we need to remember that just because we are justified does not mean that the sins that we are now committing do not deserve God's wrath and curse. It means we now do so as those who know that the wrath and curse for these sins must have fallen upon our Lord Jesus Christ upon the cross. And so this should make us much more reluctant to sin, much more resolved against sin, much more repulsed that we would sin, that we have been justified because these sins still deserve God's wrath and curse. It also means that we should never try to make someone else feel better about their sin. No, that's okay, everybody does it, type of thinking. Or, no worries, I understand why you sinned, type of thinking. We may understand, and it is true that everyone does it. And yet, every single sin deserves God's wrath and curse. And so no sin should be treated as small, we should especially not help anyone else think of it that way. For me, just as an example, one of the places that this happens is with children in the congregation, and their mom or dad asks them to do something, say hi to the pastor, or whatever it is, and the child starts to rebel. And immediately, I am on team parent. I'm also on team child for the sake of that child. Because as much as our not seeing how horrible sin is may result in our mistaken feelings like, oh, no, this poor kid now has to do this thing, and could even be expressed like, that's okay. He doesn't need to do that. No, he absolutely does need to do that. Because now his mom has told him to. Or now his dad has told her to. Her dad has told her to. And so we should root for one another for righteousness, because every single sin deserves God's wrath and curse. And it deserves God's wrath and curse, both in this life and that which is to come. Which reminds us that when the unbeliever sins, and he receives temporal consequences for his sin, it is actually coming in the wrath and curse, the hostility of God towards him, or we should say when the reprobate sins. And so those who live outside of Christ in this life live, or ought to live, and they do to a large extent, with the misery that comes from being under wrath and curse. Remember in the sermon that we were listening to in the book of Revelation, when it talked about in the fifth trumpet, the fifth trumpet, which is the first woe, and the locusts that come out of the pit, which are actually demons, the angels who are under the devil in the pit, and those whose souls they torment. They're not allowed to torment believers, those who have the seal on their forehead. But they are allowed to torment unbelievers. And the unbelievers wish for death, but it does not come. A great part of the misery of being an unbeliever is knowing that every pain, every trouble, every difficulty is coming in the wrath and curse of God, and it is the smallest, slightest foretaste, foreshadowing of that which they will have completely and forever. And God help the unbeliever. God have mercy on the unbeliever who things happen to them and they say, I don't know why this is happening. I don't deserve this. Well, what about the difficulties that come upon the believer in this life? God has done to our troubles what he has done to our death. For the believer, death is not a curse. It is an enemy. It is an enemy whose victory and sting has been stolen from it, and it becomes our passageway into the immediate presence of Christ. It becomes our final great transformation in which we get rid of all of our sinfulness. So also the troubles and difficulties of the believer, even and especially when consequences of our sin turn us against our sin, bring us to further repentance, bring us to confession, bring us to experience again the wonder of being forgiven by God, and to remember the power, the resurrection power of the Lord Jesus Christ, by which we will put those sins to death. Our afflictions teach us to stop going astray and come back to loving and doing the law of God. Our afflictions can also just produce in us perseverance and character and hope. And so forth. And so even though we deserve wrath and curse, what is coming upon us is that chastening that is unpleasant for the moment, but produces the peaceful fruit of righteousness and that holiness without which we won't see, without which we wouldn't see the Lord. So every sin deserves God's wrath and curse, deserveth God's wrath and curse in this life and that which is to come. And because for those who come to faith in Jesus Christ, the wrath and curse that is due to our sin has been consumed on the cross. Of course, not only are the troubles in this life not from the wrath and curse of God, but fatherly displeasure or fatherly anger. We can even put it that way. Fatherly anger does not come in hatred. Fatherly anger comes in love. But in the next life, there are no troubles at all. And so there's no wrath or curse for those who are in Christ Jesus. Not now, certainly not forever. But without Jesus Christ, every moment of this life is under the wrath and curse of God. Without Jesus Christ, there is nothing but the wrath and curse of God for the rest of eternity. And so the question is, what doth every sin deserve? And the answer is, every sin deserveth God's wrath and curse, both in this life and that which is to come.